The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today is, this week is one of those weeks where I teach, I'm teaching retreat, an IMC retreat at Hidden Villa, and it ends this morning. So it means that as soon as I finish the talk, I pretty much have to leave to get to the Hidden Villa to close the retreat. And they don't really, it's kind of awkward for them to have to wait. They're ready to go. And what I thought I'd do this morning is to share a theme from the retreat. To bring maybe a little bit of the retreat to all of you. The overarching theme of the retreat that Andrea Fella and I, both two teachers of the retreat, were touching in on is the idea of awakening. And today I'd like to mention a little bit about that and then go through the seven factors of awakening, a very important list of qualities of mind that come into play with practice, but to do so in a little different way than is usual. So awakening is a translation of the word bodhi, and it's has often been used in Buddhism to represent the full potential or possibility of freedom, of liberation, of enlightenment. And because it kind of represents the ultimate goal of Buddhism, Buddhists will invest a lot of value into this awakening. And so, and with that goes a lot of their ideals and idealism. And so it's often then becomes this great thing, far out in the distance, or some great attainment that is maybe, sometimes it's become even otherworldly. It's not something you can attain here, or only the really great people, the people who are really great spiritual adepts and have experiences of awakening. And they're, you know, us poor mortals, you know, we can maybe aspire to it, but it's way beyond anything that we can relate to. And there's a whole other way of approaching awakening or approaching Buddhism in general, and that is to not see Buddhist teachings as pointing to something different from what you already know, but in fact pointing to something you already know but maybe haven't recognized so well. And I think whenever you hear Buddhist teachings, a useful approach to take is to assume you already know it. And then, in assuming you already know it, look and say, how in my life have I experienced this? How do I know this in my life? And so with both awakening and these seven factors of awakening, I suspect that there are the things that you're already familiar with to some degree and something you can recognize in your life. And so when I go through this, I hope that that will be the case. Because the concept of awakening has such a broad, big ideal in Buddhism, it has many connotations that people have, many meanings or associations people have with it. And one association that I have with it is ordinary waking up. And if you, I hope that some of you, maybe once in your life, have had a really refreshing nap and woke up from that nap, maybe in a sunlit room. It was very peaceful. The light was kind of luminous and clear and still, or something like that. But you woke up, and the feeling of being refreshed from your nap, of being really clear, stood out in highlight. There was this feeling of being awake in a wonderful way, that you weren't hyped up, but you also weren't lethargic or tired. There was this kind of clarity and steadiness that felt very satisfying. So satisfying that as you were looking around the room, you know, you could see things in the room, but the clarity of the seeing, or the clarity of that knowing mind, the awake mind, well, I'm awake, you know, it's different than what I was before, stands out. It's known. The state of the mind is known to some degree. Just like if you drive around with a dirty windshield for a long time and hardly know it, and someone cleans the windshield, and suddenly you know the windshield's clean, isn't this great? And then after a while you forget about it because you're focusing on the road, I hope. But you know, the clarity stands out. So in that waking up from a nap, kind of, you know, in the best kind of waking up that we can have, there are some qualities of mind that we can maybe identify. One is there's a clear sense of presence, of being here. Because, you know, the first moments of waking up, you look around, you're here, you don't really feel even there's need to get out of bed or need to do anything or not do anything. You're just there, and it's kind of feeling of content and presence, just really there in the room. And in that sense of being here in a strong way, doesn't make you feel like it's boring to be in your old bedroom. It just, you feel like it's kind of special. You see the light coming in through the window, you see the curtains, you see whatever, and it just, the sense of being there is so strong. There might also be a little bit of interest or curiosity. You look around and you look at things in a fresh way. Even though the things you've seen many times before, in that awake state, you're kind of just content to look more carefully with light coming through the window. What's that light? Maybe you get fascinated by all the dust in your house that was, it's always there, but now you see it dancing in the sun rays. Or you just kind of look at the curtains, maybe blowing in the wind or something. Maybe just looking at the wall, and the wall suddenly has gotten interested. But there's a kind of very quiet or peaceful kind of interest in things that goes on, maybe. Another thing is that there's a certain kind of energy, an alertness, a vitality that is almost invisible. If you weren't aware of the contrast of it, about how tired and lethargic you were before, you're kind of like you're energized, but it's not so much energized that you feel, you know, like I said earlier, hyped up, but just like this clarity that's there. There's perhaps a certain kind of sense of well-being, of contentment or joy or satisfaction. It just feels satisfying. It feels some kind of joy or happiness, and just laying there and being there. Being there with the mind alert and clear and seeing, it's just kind of satisfying state. There might be aware that you're calm, you're tranquil, you're pretty relaxed, just being there relaxed. Perhaps the mind has a capacity of being steady. You know, as you lay there in your bed and you look at the curtains swaying back and forth, you can hold your mind steady and just look at that in the steady and clarity. You're not scattered or pulled this way and that by a lot of different thoughts and concerns, and there's a stability, perhaps. And then perhaps there's a sense of equanimity or ease where different things can happen and you don't get frazzled by them, you don't get upset by them in a way maybe normally you would. You hear your kids fighting downstairs, as they often do. And, you know, it's like, oh, they're the kids again. And rather than getting pulled into that world of fighting and I have to do something and fix it, or this is terrible, I should divorce them or something, then, you know, it's just ease, you know, just, oh, it's, you know, it's okay. Or all kinds of, a variety of things might happen, and you can just you take it in, you're aware of it, but you don't get frazzled or reactive to it. So what I've done now is gone through these seven factors of awakening. So the strong sense of presence is mindfulness. The strong sense of interest is the factor of investigation. The strong, the factor of energy is that kind of energy or vitality that's there. The factor of joy is that sense of well-being or happiness or satisfaction that's there in this wakeful state. The factor of tranquility is the relaxation that's there. The factor of concentration is the stability or steadiness that's there of the mind. And the equanimity is the factor of equanimity, of non-reactivity, of just being present and not reacting to things. So I hope in that little exercise, you could maybe think back and say, oh yeah, I've had a little bit of that. I know what that is. I know what those experiences are like. I've had little tastes of that here and there. And so in that, in recognizing it, it's already something you've experienced, then we can appreciate Buddhism is not pointing to something that's radically different, but rather it's pointing to a the growth and fulfillment, the growth and filling out of that, so it becomes a bigger part of our life. So it expands out into our life and becomes a regular part of it, becomes a strong part of our life, so that that part of our life becomes something that that supports us as we go through our life. So someone who becomes so-called enlightened is someone who's taken these ordinary factors and developed them so strongly that they're resting in them. They're not something they touched in, you know, because they had a good nap, but they're there on a regular basis and they feel it close at hand. So these seven factors of awakening are ordinary things, ordinary that are developed to the great, their full potential. So I'd like to offer you seven little practices, one for each of the factors of awakening, that have to do with a word, like a mental note, a label, but kind of a word that evokes each one. And these are the North American factors of awakening. So the factor of mindfulness can perhaps be found at times with the simple word saying here. Just here. H-E-R-E. And I find this very helpful for me in my practice. There are times when I sit down, my mind wanders a lot. It's kind of stirred up or something, restless. And it's hard for my mind to be present. And so what I find very useful then is I say to myself the word here. And it's a very generous kind of here. It's not like, you know, commanding a dog here. It's more like a wonderful kind of connotation of or way of association with here is the way you would hand something to someone, maybe a gift or something, and you say, here. Or you're going to help someone who's fallen and you are unsteady, you give them your hand and you say, here. It's a kind of act of generosity. Here, here's something. Or for me, that sense of here is a sense of being of open possibility, of here, just this moment right here. I'm not looking for something different. I'm not trying to make it different. I'm not resisting or fighting anything. I'm waking up to what's here. And so when my mind is distracted or at restless, here is a mind that's distracted. It's not like saying it should be any different. It's just saying, here, this is what is, here. And here is a mind that's restless. And if I'm lucky, I can stay here for a second or two. And the mind wanders off and I do it again, here. And I find if I keep doing that here, then it's much more peaceful than trying to fight against or overcome my restlessness. It kind of creates a lot of spaciousness or openness or that recognizes what is. And in recognizing what is, be at ease with it. Be not struggling with it. So just here, whatever it might be. I find it a very generous and gracious way of being mindful. And so that's one practice of mindfulness, is just to say the word here. Find yourself here. For the practice of investigation, the word is what? What is this? Now that I'm here, what is this? And so, you know, to be curious, interested, what's going on here? What's actually happening here? Kind of a simple, again, open to possibility, open-handed, open-minded, not to impose bias or pre-existing ideas, but rather, you know, what is this? If I allow the experience to reveal itself to me, as opposed to impose myself on the experience with my expectations and demands, what gets revealed? And this is a very important issue because many times people come to meditation practice or mindfulness practice with all kinds of preconceived agendas, ideas about what they're supposed to be experiencing and what's supposed to be occurring. And it's much better to let reality show you what you need to know. Generally, reality has a much better idea of what you need to know than you do. And so, in this, so the what? What is this? Now that I'm here, what? What's happening? So, if my mind is distracted, what? What is this distracted mind? And I might feel the energy of it. I might feel the pull and pushes of it. I might feel the particular concerns I have. There's a variety of things I might notice. What? What is this? What? And then, and it's really kind of the essential vipassana question. What is this? And then we do it again. What is this? And each time it's kind of meant to be kind of fresh. What is this? What's going on here? What is this now? And it's very powerful to bring this investigation to our experience because it generally goes against or is an alternative to how the mind is usually operating, where it's operating on its, you know, its ideas of they already know, I already know what's true, I already know what's supposed to happening, where I'm already judging it, I don't need to know any better. I already decided, you know, it's bad or whatever, whatever. But, you know, to investigate. Also, to the degree to which the mind is preoccupied, caught up in things, what breaks through the preoccupation? And I like to think of investigation as a very radical thing to do. It's kind of like if you have an ecosystem and you introduce a new species into the ecosystem, the whole ecosystem adjusts accordingly. If you bring investigation into your experience, your whole psychological ecosystem has to change, will adjust. If you only stay with business as usual, caught up in with your usual way of being caught in things, then business as usual. But if you say, what is going on here? What's going on right now? What's going on with me that I'm so upset with my boss? What's going on here that this person who's so upset with me? What's going on here? That kind of helps us kind of step out of the fray, step out of the being caught or enmeshed in the situation, and gives us a chance to see more clearly, but also gives us a chance to be a little bit free from what we're studying, what we're looking at, what we're involved in. The investigation helps us to see clearly and helps us to step out away from, so we're not enmeshed. So the simple question, what? So first it's here, and once we're here, we can ask the question, what? And then we find something. There's a what. So then there's the next step is the factor of energy or effort. And a nice word I like to offer you for that is this. This. And what I associate with this, is once I know something, then this means here, this is what I'll connect to. This is what I'll get to know better. This is what I'll feel and engage and sense and invite in and experience more fully. So if I'm agitated or tired, then this agitation, what does it feel like? Where do I feel it in my body, in my mind, in my heart? What's this like? So kind of turning towards and entering into the experience more fully. This. So for me, the word this has kind of energy to it. This. It's not holding back. It's not resisting. It's this, here, this thing here. This engagement. Here. What. This. Then there's the next factor is joy. And for joy, the word is yes. Yes. So now you know what this is, then you can say yes to it. Not, necessarily approving of everything, but the yes of, yes, it's good to connect. It's good to know. It's good to let things reveal themselves. It's satisfying to be present. It's satisfying to have a practice that I can engage in. It's satisfying to know that there's a path here that can help me be free and not caught by what's going on. And so this, yes, here it is. Here I am. Here I'm engaged. Yes. So what is it like to say yes to everything? Yes. Your knee hurts in meditation. No. Not that. But the knee aches. Yes. Not to approve the knee hurting, But yes, here, this, let me connect with this. Let me feel that. Let me engage in it, as opposed to resist it or get angry. Yes. So this, it represents the joy factor, and it's a range of what can be joyful or satisfying. But this word, yes, can you say yes to your experience? Then the tranquility factor has another wonderful word. Relax. Just relax. So relax. I guess there's other wonderful words, right? Like chill. But relax. Take it easy. Take a deep breath, relax. In ancient India, or in India, they had all these mantras. And, most famous one that we know, I think, is Om, Om. But the one mantra is just Ah, Ah. It's my favorite one. Ah. No, what a great mantra. Ah. So relax. So say yes, be present, be here, and then relax. Soften your muscles, soften your shoulders, soften your belly. Soften the muscles of your face. Relax your breathing. Soften your brain, your mind. Relax. Open up. Most things in life that are important, I think, can be better done if you're relaxed than if you tense up, no matter how important it is. And sometimes we think that in order to take care of important things, we have to tense up properly. But I think if you actually relax, it works better. So then the factor of concentration. I couldn't quite decide what the best word for that was, but I decided I would to call it steady. Steady yourself here. Stabilize yourself here. Steady. So here you are. Here, what, this, yes, relax with what's here. And then steady yourself with what's here. Steady yourself. Don't be fighting it or resisting it. Don't be wobbly. Don't be agitated. Don't be kind of scattered. Don't be jumping around a lot. But steady yourself with this experience. Steady yourself. And there's, lots of situations in life where in order to do the task well, we have to steady ourselves. And so people actually take a breath and plant their feet on the ground and they steady themselves and have this kind of focus to do that activity. And then we come to the last factor of awakening, which is equanimity. And here we come to the great American mantra. The mantra that was invented in Boston. And it's one of America's great contributions to the world through the English language. And it's spread, it's all over now. It's, you use this word all day long, those of you on computer especially, because it's a wonderful word, it's a wonderful mantra. It's the mantra we tell little children when they're upset or frightened or something. It's a great, powerful, all-pervading, divine phrase. It's okay. Okay. It's okay. It's a powerful word. I can see how powerful it is, I think, when you see it with small children. When you can't really explain to a small kid, 2-year-old, the whole situation, and you can't go and tell, but you shouldn't be upset. Stop being upset. The kid's going to be more upset and feel something's wrong with them. You show the kid that they're safe, it's okay, you're there with them, you're present, and it's okay. It's a very vague word in some sense. It's okay. It's not okay that they, scrape themselves, but it's okay now. I'm here with you. Things are okay. And that okayness, I think, is one of the ways of helping with equanimity, to be willing to be present without getting riled by things, without being caught by things, without needing it to be different. So then in North America, maybe we can begin to wake up with these seven words. Here, what, this, yes, relax, steady, and okay. Does that work in America? So that's what I had in mind for today. So I hope you all wake up. Or wake up more than you already are. So thank you. And so please stay for the potluck. And if even if you're not staying, you know, if you're new, please introduce yourself to someone. It's we're ending, you know, quite a bit early than usual today, so it might be nice for you to turn near someone sitting next to you and saying hello before you go, so people meet each other and a little more community here. So thank you.